Our final Beat Guys segment, regular season version. Texans and Jaguars Sunday, where all the import lies with the home team. A year ago at this time, it was all about the Jaguars and their wonderful season. Headed to the playoffs, and they'd wind up coming within a quarter. Less than a quarter. Going to the Super Bowl, and, well, over there, that probably feels closer to 10 years ago about now. On the Jaguars beat, we welcome Mark Long, who covers for the AP over there. Mark, amused by your Twitter, I don't know what it'll be called, header. You've watched a whole lot of lousy offensive football this year between the Florida Gators and the Jacksonville Jaguars. Nonetheless, happy holidays to you.
Thank you. You too.
And in the broad view, look, last season, I don't consider it a fluke. The defense was dominant. They won 10 games, followed it with two playoff wins and then a strong showing at New England. But in the franchise context of the last decade, man, does it look like a fluke.
It was a fluke. Let's call it what it is. You go back, if you really want to dig in and break it down, Charlie, they went 10-6 in the regular season. 10 of those 10 wins, four of them came against backup quarterbacks, including two against the Texans, and then another one came against a rookie quarterback in Deshaun Kizer. So that's five of those 10 wins. So the reality is you take those guys out, guys who aren't even legitimate quarterbacks in the league, the Tom Savages and the Deshaun Kizers and the Blaine Gabberts of the world, and they really went 5-6 last season against everybody else. So they weren't really that good last year. They played a fourth-place schedule. They dominated some teams without good quarterbacks, sneak into the playoffs at 10-6, and then they play a Buffalo team that also probably shouldn't have been in the playoffs. Kind of got in off of a little bit of a fluke there. They beat Buffalo. They match up pretty well with Pittsburgh. And then all of a sudden they're in the AFC title game and leading by 10 points in the fourth quarter. And you're thinking, oh my gosh, this team's going to go to the Super Bowl. And then of course they collapse. But I think it was a little bit of fool's gold for them to look at what happened last season and try to repeat it based on going from a fourth place schedule to a first place schedule, banking on Blake Bortles to continue to play turnover free football, counting on the run game to return to what it did early in the year when it was the best running game in the NFL, and it really struggled down the stretch last year. So all of those things were, I think, the front office and some of the coaches and certainly some of the media had, you know, teal and black glasses on looking at this team thinking they would pick up where they left off and be dominant this year. The reality is, it's a flawed team. They're totally flawed. You don't, in 2018, you cannot build a dominant defensive team and expect it to hold up because the rules are skewed against you, for one. You know, nobody, the NFL doesn't want defense. It wants offense. So if you go in trying to win with a subpar quarterback, subpar talent at the receiving position, tight end position, you're going to be in trouble. So, and then you throw injuries on top of it, and that's what happened. It really doomed the Jags.
Well, Blake Bortles gets his starting job back, says a lot about Cody Kessler. Is it a fait all but accompli? $16.5 million dead dollars months after signing the extension. They would save $4.5 million versus his cap figure next year of 21. And in terms of Bortles as a guy, will the offense, I mean, rally around him, whatever that means with this offense. What do you think the Jaguars' care level is for this game? Do they get any thrill or jolly out of trying to play spoiler and cost the Texans the division title, or will the bus be running during the game?
Yeah, I think there's a little bit of that. There's certainly some motivation in playing well down the stretch here. The reality is the team hasn't collapsed. You know, a lot of times in a season like this with high expectations, you'd wait for it to unravel, and you know at some point it's going to unravel, and the finger pointing and backbiting and all kinds of lopsided losses down the stretch. But the reality is they've played well enough to win three of the last four games. They beat Indianapolis 6-0. They have a debacle at Tennessee on a short week, and then they play well enough, should have beaten Washington and go into Miami last week and really pull off a little bit of a stunner and knock the the Dolphins out of the playoffs. So they haven't given up on Doug Marrone, and I think that's probably what's going to save his job, is that, you know, this team, he's kept it competitive despite all the injury woes. So Blake Bortles gives them a better chance to win, move the ball offensively, score some points. But really, the reality is, unless they, you know, unless they're pitching a shutout or close to it and scoring on defense, they're in a lot of trouble. You know, they're going to, you know, they're not going to top 20 points. And for their, for them to win, they're going to have to hold Houston, you know, to probably 13 or less.
For this game, Mark, specifically, offensive tackle. They lost Cam Robinson early in the year, which was a huge blow. And then on the inside, the big free agent signing, Andrew Norwell, was also lost. But at tackle, you have Watt and Clowney sometimes on the outside. What are they starting? Eric Flowers and someone they signed off the street a month ago?
Yeah, that's the real issue. They're down. They're on their fourth left tackle and their third right tackle, and really their fourth right tackle, but it'll be their third different starting right tackle. Corey Robinson, a guy they picked up off the street, and Eric Flowers, a guy, you know, the New York Giants didn't want. And then at left guard, they got Pat Umami, another guy the New York Giants didn't want and cut. So they've got four backups starting on the five offensive line spots, and none of the four does anybody, no one expects to be with the team next year. So these literally are street guys, guys who will be competing elsewhere for roster spots next year. It's been their biggest problem. They can't protect the quarterback. I think they've given up, Cody Kessler was sacked 18 times in the last 4 weeks. I think they've given up 19 sacks in four games total, because Bortles went down once last week too. So 19 sacks in the last four games. That's not really getting it done. And they can't run the ball. Leonard Fournette now is not, you know, he's doubtful to play. So it looks like it's going to be TJ Yeldon, Carlos Hyde, maybe, you know, another kid off the practice squad, Dave Williams. I mean, it's, you know, it's really pathetic offensively. Their best chance is Bortles scrambling and maybe getting enough time in the pocket to take a couple shots against Houston's beat up secondary.
It is the number five scoring defense in the NFL, which can be influenced by such a bad offense. Teams have leads, play conservatively. But look, last year the defense was stellar. But going forward, are they looking at a bloodletting? You alluded to how, you know, you build a stacked defensive team in today's NFL. They have five defenders with cap figures over $10 million for next season. They project is over the cap. I mean, are they going to have to slash and burn?
They're going to have to do a little bit, but not as much as you would expect. They want to try to keep it as intact as possible. They are built the way they're built. You know, it's not like they can, you know, as long as Tom Coughlin's here and Doug Marrone, they're not going to change their philosophy. They still believe in running the football, playing great defense, and play action passing. They got to get a better quarterback. There's no doubt about it. And then, you know, they got to try to keep that defense together. They already got rid of Barry Church. Looks like they've already basically put the writing on the wall that Malik Jackson's gone, so that's going to be a huge savings for them. The question marks are Calais Campbell, who leads the team with 9 sacks, and Marcel Darius, you know, an interior guy who's played really well, stuffing the run. So those two guys, can they keep them? Do they, you know, what do they do with A.J. Boye, cornerback who's not going to play? But I think they're going to do everything in their power to keep as many of those guys coming back next year as possible, with the exception of Malik Jackson. They've already made that pretty clear that he's gone. You know, and try to take another swing at this thing. They don't feel like it's a huge rebuild, even though 5-10, if they finish 5-11, it looks bad. They think that if they can get their offensive line back, their starters back, they'll be able to run the ball, get Leonard Fournette maybe somewhat on track. He's a little bit of a problem for them. Add in a new quarterback and then give it a go next year with most of the defense intact. And they're going to be right at the cap. There's no doubt. They're going to have to make a lot of wise cap friendly deals to see if they can rebuild this thing or add some pieces without going over the salary cap.
To wrap it up, Mark, there are a bunch of double-digit spreads in the NFL this week. 13, 14-point lines, Kansas City, Oakland, and Seattle, Arizona, Rams, 49ers. On this game at 6.5, which is about Jacksonville's defense and the Texans offense beyond DeAndre Hopkins, Deshaun Watson hookups being, well, not very good. Sounds as if, though, you think unless the Texans really chump it up, if not flat out choke, they should handle their business, clinch the division, be the 3 seed unless they catch a break with New England losing. Am I reading that correctly?
Yeah, I don't see New England losing. But I think Houston's going to be able to take care of business. And Jacksonville got a win last week. You start to wonder, is there, do these guys with 4 days left in their season, Friday, Saturday, they're out of here on Monday with the new year looming, all those things. Do you start to wonder if they've got a foot in the parking lot, a foot out the door and are starting to make plans for the off season. So you start to wonder about that. Didn't show up last week in Miami. But you wonder, they got that win. Is there an exhale? Is there a bit of a sense of relief? Do they feel like they've done enough to save Doug Marrone's job? And at some point, they just go, where you can't wait to get this thing over with and reboot. And so I think when you look at what Houston has going for it, what Houston's playing for, and Jacksonville trying to, at this point playing spoiler role for like the fifth or sixth straight week, it's like, you just start to wonder how long can that last. And again, Bortles gave him a little spark last week. I don't know what he's going to do this week, especially with that offensive line and no Leonard Fournette. They look like they'll be in a lot of trouble. But defensively, they can keep it close.
Mark Long, AP Jacksonville on the Jaguars beat for us. Hey, appreciate the time and insight, and 3+ days early. Happy New Year to you.
Yeah, you too. Appreciate it.
All right.